to SpongeBob. I'm ready.
Never heard of it.
Mr. Krusty Krab. Whatever the fuck that we were talking about. Oh, good times.
What's going on, people? It's the People Forget That podcast with your boy Kevin.
And Ryan, as usual. Same duo.
We were supposed to do the outro because we did the intro at the end for the outro.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I can't even think of anything.
I can't think of anything either. And my fucking lower back hurts. But whatever. We're powering through. This is my flu game.
There you go. Yeah, so literally the Last Dance just ended, part two, like 15 minutes ago.
No more dancing.
No more dancing. I thought it was much more interesting. It was centered morely on Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson. And I tell you, Dennis Rodman is quite the character.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was
he looks like an anime character.
he really does. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I just couldn't believe. So they let him go to Vegas for 48 hours, which whatever turns into 96 hours. So a couple questions. Where, like, are these cameras that were following him? Like, where are they getting this footage from? Are these people who were part of, who were filming the season? Yeah, and they're just like, hey, Dennis, we're going to come with you. And he's like, yeah, okay. I mean, because I'm like, otherwise, how are they getting this footage? And how about when he gets to Vegas? I guess he's like somewhere near the airport, like just landed. He's drinking a Miller Lite in a can, right? He's walking around. He's just in a random ass parking lot. So he just knocks back a Miller Lite. Then he gets on like a motorcycle and just drives away. And he's not even wearing a helmet. He's just drunk driving a motorcycle on camera. He knows that there's cameras following him. It's like, yep, here I am, drunk driving this motorcycle through Vegas. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's like pointing at the camera like, oh, what's up?
Yeah. What's going on? What a guy. What a character. He really, it's just, could you imagine if in 2020, one of the, like, let's say Draymond is the, even though it's not really a good comparison because Rodman was like a legit world famous celebrity. But if we just think of like a wild character on one of the best teams, like last year in the middle of the season, Draymond just asked to leave the Warriors and he goes to Vegas for 48 hours. That would be like the biggest story in sports. Like, and even, I feel like he wouldn't even have been able to do that because there would just be people who knew he was in Vegas who would just be following him around with like cameras and fans trying to get his autographs and stuff. You know, it's like back then, like you were obviously super famous, but there was a little more anonymity because everyone didn't just have a camera in their pocket.
Yeah, because now everyone has their phones and it comes out HD and everything. It's so convenient. You don't even need a camera. Your phone is your camera.
And then how about just random... what did you think is just as going to the gym when they were working out, not in the, like the later episodes when they started bulking up to beat the Pistons, but Rodman was doing like the behind the neck lat pull down. I was like, yeah. I don't know. Like, was anyone going to tell him like, hey man, you know, maybe not the safest for your rotator cuff. You probably didn't care, I would imagine, but I thought
did you notice they're all wearing gloves
while they were working out? I didn't notice that, yeah. But now that you're saying that, so were they fingerless gloves?
They were fingerless.
That's sick. Wait, were they like black? Like black leather gloves? I might start going to the gym like that, like just with fingerless gloves. And I wonder, it's probably just for grip, I would imagine. I think that people do that.
People do that, but that's like
you would get memed on nowadays.
Yeah, no, you'll get shit on.
So maybe honestly, bring it back in style. You know? And then,
I mean, yeah. I don't know who could pull it off. I mean, now I think with the virus, people are going to be wearing gloves. For sure.
So when the gyms open up again, are you going to wear gloves to the gym? I'm not. I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to. I have no idea.
Well, okay.
Like, it would have to be like fully covered because like fingerless doesn't like, it'll cover your palms.
Yeah, it doesn't protect you from the germs.
Yeah.
That's why it wasn't for germs. It was just for like gripping. So, and I guess maybe to not get calluses could be another thing. Also, another thing with Rodman is like, I couldn't understand what he's saying half the time.
I didn't understand at all.
Like, why is he talking like that?
Like, in like his interview, like present time, I just couldn't understand him. Literally half the shit that came out of his mouth, I was just like trying to put it together. I was like, I have no idea. And just like the evolution of Dennis Rodman was just like fascinating to see.
Like his like childhood and stuff?
Yeah, from his childhood and then switching to like what he looks like now. Oh my God.
Well, first of all, okay, let's talk about his childhood.
Even just from like the Pistons, when he was on the Pistons to the Bulls.
Yeah, it's when he went to the Spurs, they showed. Then that's when he dyed his hair blonde. That was like the moment where he was just, I guess, was like, you know, I'm just going wild.
And it looked terrible. That was like a real bad one. It was like this awful fro, like someone fucked up the fade. It was bad on the Spurs specifically.
Right. Well, let's talk about his childhood a little bit though. At the part where I didn't understand, like, so his mom kicked him out at 18 for basically no reason, it seemed like. Well, I guess maybe at that point he wasn't going to college, but also didn't have a job. Like, I guess, did he go to high school? Like, I'm so confused. You know, it's like, why did she just kick him out?
Because, like, he wasn't doing anything to help provide or something like that.
And wasn't it surprising that he said, like, he never did it? Like, he was around people doing drugs, but for some reason, he said, like, I don't even know why I didn't do it. But he just never did it. Like, he said he would just go to the gym. I didn't know if he meant, like, playing basketball or working out. But I was like, I figured, like, there would be drugs involved, like, in his, you know, adolescence. Circle. Yeah, well, his circle there was. But if you would have bet $1 million, like, was he doing drugs when he was, like, 17, 18? Yeah, I would have taken that bet. And then I love that he says, they're asking him, like, okay, then what happens? He's like, you know, then some guy from some college comes and, like, asks me, like, hey, you want to play on the team? It was like the same thing as like the Scottie Pippen thing. It's like, so one of the like Hall of Fame player, this is how he got recruited. And I love how he, like, if you had to bet, do you think he even knows the name of the college that he went to? He just said some guy from some college came. It's like, I think they said it was like Southeast Oklahoma State, but they were interviewing him like whenever this interview was done, like a year ago. He's like, yeah, you know, some guy from some college. I don't know even where I went to college, but it was somewhere.
I mean, he's just like a total mess. It's crazy. And I can't believe, the thing is, I didn't realize he dated Madonna when he wasn't even like on the Bulls.
Yeah, he
like
wasn't even famous. He was just a basketball. Yeah. Well, I guess he probably would have been pretty famous playing on the, because he won two titles with the Pistons. So he would, yeah. I know what you're saying. Not at like the height of his super fame. And then how about when he was, I thought it was really funny when they were interviewing him and he was like going through his strategy for rebounding. It's like, I do a little of this, and I do that, and then shoop, and then go to the left, up, down, then side to side. And then I thought that was just so funny, the way they like cut it together.
Yeah, I think he said even more, and they were like just cutting it like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you notice it? Because they weren't going like, it wasn't like fully through. They just kept cutting it to like the main parts.
Yeah, he was in the middle.
So I think he was just rambling.
Yeah, no, he definitely was rambling, and they cut it to the main parts. And they were saying like, go ahead.
That could have been like an hour long.
Yeah.
They're like, cut it within like 10 minutes.
They're like, all right, thanks for that, Dennis. Thanks for giving us that little spiel there. And then how about he would do like drills where it would be like 3 a.m. in the arena and he would just have like his buddies just shooting. Yeah. And so he could just
shoot over there.
Yeah, just shoot it over here, shoot it over there so he could practice rebounding. I mean, he very clearly was like a genius when it came to rebounding. I was before the episode started, you know, Mark Stein, like the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted out like, because Rodman played like 30 games, I think, on the Mavericks, or it might have even been only like 30 days. But anyway, so Mark Stein like was a reporter with the Mavericks, obviously, for some time. So he's just tweeting out some stories of Rodman's time with the Mavericks. And similarly to like that idea of him and his friends just doing rebounding drills, he said that one time like Dirk after practice was in the gym with like Dirk's shooting coach. And Rodman walks in and he just is going from basket to basket in like the practice arena, just throwing the ball as hard as he can off the backboard and just like grabbing the rebound. Like, what a maniac. And I think he was like 36 or 30, or I think he was maybe like 39 in that season, but it still averaged like 14 rebounds a game, like in his whatever 20 games. Crazy.
And I think he's 6'8".
Yeah, he's not even that tall. 6'9". What, looking up how tall he is? Yeah, I don't think he was that tall.
6'7".
6'7". Yeah, that's, I mean, nowadays, yeah, sure, he could maybe be like a small ball 5, but even back then, that was like just a power forward, and probably even an undersized power forward, honestly.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't see anyone at his height putting up those rebounding numbers. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Have you looked at his numbers?
Well, I'll just look him up now, but like I've seen like stats, like he had seasons of like 17 rebounds a game, right?
Almost 19.
Oh my, how is that even possible?
I'm just going to round it. It's 19, 18, 17, 17, 15, 16, 15. And this was at like, and this was even like when he was like really young. The first season he got 19 rebounds a game, he was 30. So 30 to 36 was basically his prime.
Of rebounding. Which would have been just the prime of his career. I mean, obviously, besides, they mentioned he won Defensive Player of the Year twice.
What years?
I don't know what years are here. I'll look it up now, but Dennis Rodman. But when I saw that, I was like, I didn't know that he was considered. Everyone always knows that it's like, oh, he is obviously a great
defense and rebounding guy.
Yeah, but I always knew him more as a rebounding guy. I didn't know that he also was like one of the best defenders. Okay, so he won.
Didn't Isaiah Thomas said like he was like the best defender ever? Or David Aldridge won the guy.
No, David Aldridge said that, and I was like, you know what? Because everyone would normally say Scottie Pippen. I feel like from back then, he said he was the best on-ball defender he ever saw. So you're saying he's better than Scottie? But anyway, so he won in 90 and 91. So, yeah, I guess his last year with the Spurs.
29 and 30. He was on the Pistons.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. 90-91, yeah, 2 years with the Pistons. But so did Scottie Pippen win Defensive Player of the Year? He must have, right? Scottie Pippen was the second best. No, he never won Defensive Player of the Year. What? That's kind of surprising. All we hear about is like Scottie's the best defender of all time, but he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, maybe they were more relying on like block shots back in the day, and they're like, "Oh, this."
But he averaged three steals twice.
I don't know.
But that's... Jordan, how many times did Jordan win it once?
Once, yeah. What did you think about how about the part where they're like when Rodman was on the Pistons, his last year on the Pistons, he drove to like, I think they said the team facility, like maybe the practice facility, or maybe it was their home arena in Detroit, and he brought a gun with him, but he said luckily I fell asleep in the car, I guess otherwise he would have killed himself, and then the cops showed up. But I thought that was wild. And you want to know what's also a little Easter egg? When they flash back to footage, like back in that time, like 88 or 89, whenever it was, and they interviewed one of the Pistons coaches about it, and the guy's name was Ron Rothstein, and that guy used to coach at Eastchester High School. Isn't that wild?
Really?
Yeah. And he was, I know he used to be a assistant coach with the Heat. I'm pretty sure like during the LeBron years, but I just thought, you know, that was crazy. He got a little Eastchester getting a little shout out on the Last Dance documentary. Ron Ross.
That's where we went to school for those.
Oh yeah, for the two people who are listening to this who are unfamiliar with the humans conducting this podcast. Yeah, Eastchester, New York. Ron Rothstein. I guess he's our prodigal son, or is that how it's pronounced? Prodigal son. Whatever. I thought that was a crazy little anecdote.
And then they traded him.
Then they just traded him. They're like, all right, get out of here, like, dude.
Yeah, it's like, this guy's insane. Get the fuck out of here.
Nowadays, it's like, okay, Kevin Love or DeMar DeRozan like writes an article in the Players Tribune, and they're like, I'm really depressed. Everyone's and rightfully so. Everyone's like very understanding and like, wow, you know, I'm glad that you admitted that you were struggling with this stuff. You know, we got to help you out. Mental health is important. And back in, you know, 88, 89, it's like, oh yeah, one of our star players almost killed himself. Why don't you fucking go play for another team, huh? Yeah, jeez. Savage. I wonder how that was covered at the time. They're probably like, yeah, we got to get this head case out of here. Like the media was saying, like the journalists. Nowadays, it would be like...
It's a distraction.
Yeah, he's distracting. He's distracting us from the basketball. Yeah, I thought that was funny. I thought, so the Pistons beat the Bulls 3 years in a row, 88, 89, 90. I don't know. What did you think about like the whole Jordan rules, bad boy Pistons, Bulls? Because that was, I think that was probably the biggest theme next to like Phil's upbringing. And we could talk about that in a little bit. And like you said, it was Phil Rodman and basically the Bad Boy Pistons as they related to like the Bulls. What did you think about like the whole Bad Boys Pistons thing?
I mean, I thought it's actually sick that they created like the Jordan rules, yeah. Obviously just for Jordan. Whenever he would attack the basket, they would just knock him down, literally like try to hurt him. I think that's pretty, like for Jordan's case, like I think that's pretty boss. And I mean, the thing is, like, I can't believe they're that good, but I mean, you could tell like just how Jordan and them just struggled against them, the physicality. And then Jordan had to put on 15 pounds, literally just for the Pistons. Like they were totally focused on each other, like creating the Jordan rules, and then Jordan going into the gym trying to put on weight to take those beatings. And he actually said that, I'm pretty positive that he said that beating the Pistons felt better than actually winning the championship, or was like more important.
Yeah,
did he say that?
Yeah,
right?
He said like he said if like practically or basically felt better than winning the title, which is crazy to think about. But how about like it's just such a different time that he had 6 years in the league without lifting weights. Crazy.
Yeah,
just crazy, and he was still obviously incredible. So it's not like it was holding him back, but it's just wild to think like who was widely considered like one of the best, no, the best player, if not like the best athlete on earth, like just wasn't like lifting weights. Just very different. Yeah. Time. Literally every player on every NBA team lifts weights nowadays.
And it was interesting seeing like what the perspective on Jordan was at that time. It was, they were basically saying how like Jordan's just like a scorer. He's just like the scoring champ.
Yeah.
And he's not on Magic's and Larry's level because of he
as like a winner.
Win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I thought, yeah.
And then, yeah. Yeah, that was like really cool to see.
And he said he admitted
just, like,
it
real time.
He admitted like that, oh, that like it ate at him and like he hated that, like motivated him and he hated that narrative. It's just so crazy how, I mean, obviously, yes, winning six titles in 8 years, two three-peats, obviously that's going to change how people perceive you. But it's just, I guess it makes sense. It just shows, it just goes to show like how everyone's just going to look for a story and like a narrative. Like, okay, so he's the best player, but you know, he's not getting past his team. Which as it's like as if it's like some sort of like black mark that like he wasn't getting past like the team that won the title both years. Like they were losing to the eventual champions, but it's just like, oh, he's not a winner. He doesn't, I guess maybe it paired together with like the fact that he was like leading the league in scoring and maybe didn't pass all that much. Well, not as much as maybe they thought he should have. Obviously he's still averaging like a fucking bunch of assists per game. But yeah, I guess it just goes to show. Yeah. Where people, fans, media, journalists, everyone's going to look at some sort of narrative. That's how you understand things, like telling stories, narrative. So kind of makes sense. But obviously, in retrospect, it's a little bit ridiculous. And then what about when they went to like Phil's background? I thought that was super interesting. Like he grew up in Montana and, you know, his parents were super religious and he was like hanging out with like Native Americans when he was a little kid and he loves basketball. And then like, you know,
he like integrated that, the Indian spirits,
yeah,
into like practices and philosophy.
How about the,
I had no idea.
Yeah. How about, oh God, there's so many things, so many things that were great about the Phil parts, like how, so I'm just going to be like random, like just go to everything. The part where he's standing in the middle of the team and they're doing like stretches. I thought that so cool. I feel like you would never see that nowadays, but it's like the coach is like leading them in a stretching routine. That was awesome. Like you're saying when, I want to
no
get
shoes either.
He wasn't, they all weren't wearing shoes or
they, no one had shoes on.
Were they barefoot or were they wearing socks?
I think some people were barefoot. Okay. They were on like a yoga mat. Or something, whatever. I don't know if they had a yoga mask back then.
And they said, yeah, he would bring like Zen Buddhism and like Native American philosophies into the team. How about though when Rodman like went in, I guess Phil had like an office where he had like a bunch of Native American memorabilia. And then
I think it was his house.
Oh, it was his house. But then what about when Rodman came in and was like, look, I have this from when he...
the necklace.
Where did he get it from? Was it in Oklahoma in college? Like what? Or San Antonio? I can't remember where Rodman got the necklace, but he had like some Native American related necklace. And what did he call him? Phil was like, he said
the guy who walks backwards,
walking person, like the Heyoka or something. Heyoka, something like that. Backwards walking person. I thought that was like very almost like emotional. And they were saying how like Phil was sort of like understood that Rodman was different and they were sort of more like friends. I remember there was like the one scene where they were like sitting watching some film together, just sitting side by side, like it was shot from like behind them. And it another thing was that I can't remember. I don't know if Jordan said like Scotty, no, he didn't say Rodman was like the smartest. He said one of the smartest players he ever played with, I think. And then they were talking about how like Rodman would like study other players' tendencies. Like they showed him taking notes while watching film. And it's just sort of like the dichotomy of Rodman. It's like he's this wild guy who parties all the time, who has like all these demons. But he's not like the guy who parties all the time, but then like doesn't give effort. Like that's all he does is give max effort. But it's not like he's also the player who just shows up and tries super hard. He also does a lot of preparation in terms of like, you know, like I said, watching film and taking notes and studying other players' tendencies. What a fascinating guy. Oh my God.
Yeah. And like Dennis said, like how he doesn't look at him like as a basketball player, but he looks at him as like a friend. That was pretty cool.
And then it's like they also said, okay, well, you have something?
It's just like not a normal, like obviously Dennis Rodman is like extremely colorful character. So saying that about like someone else calling like him your friend is, you know, it's cool to see.
Right. You'd almost think like he would just be like, I don't need friends, or like, I don't consider anyone my friend because he's just so like off the reservation. And then how about the fact that, so he stays in Vegas too long. And so they have to come get him. Jordan has to come get him. I would have loved to know, like, what was literally the logistics of that? Like, were they playing on the West Coast? Like, or did Jordan take a private jet to Vegas? And like, how was he just running around Las Vegas, like talking to like, you know, people at the hot dog stand? Like, have you seen Dennis? Have you seen Dennis Rodman around these parts? Like,
he's got orange hair.
Yeah, he's got a
tall guy with orange hair.
He's wearing a wig and a leather trench coat, and he's running around and he's drinking. But I just thought that was just so hilarious. Like, they had to send Jordan, but I wish they would have got into like, how did he get there? And like, how did that happen? That's so funny. They literally had to drag him out of the hotel room and he comes back. And how about the part where they were talking about, okay, so Phil wanted to get Rodman back in shape. And so they were doing like that Indian drill, like the running drill, which we used to do for soccer too. And it was so annoying. It was like,
I think we did it for basketball too.
We probably did it for, it's pretty, I guess, well-known sports drill. It's like for soccer, we did it where there were two lines, which made it a little bit easier because obviously the lines would be shorter. And then, like, when they blow the whistle, the two people at the back of the line have to run to the front of the line. And I just love the idea that they're, like, before the drill. Like, and I thought it was so funny. Jordan's like, you know, I didn't go on a vacation. Like, why do I have to get dragged into, like, let's get Dennis in better shape? I thought that was so funny. But I just love the visual of, like, them before. Like, they know they're doing the drill at practice today, right? And they're like, right, guys, like, you know, if you get to the front of the line, just like jog very slow, don't run fast, like just to make it easier for everybody. When they blow the whistle, it's much easier to get to the front of the line. And I just love the idea of like, okay, so they blow the whistle, Robin's at the back of the line, he sprints to the front of the line, everyone's like, okay, he'll slow down now, and he just keeps sprinting and just like totally ruins the drill. And Jordan said it took him like four laps to catch him. And I thought that was,
and he's the person that they're doing the drill for,
right, to get him in shape. He's clearly in shape. And it's like I also love the idea of like Jordan was just like, that was just his psychology, like he's just always running, he had to run from something, he had to get it out. That was just hilarious to me.
And then also before we deviate, when Jordan actually got to Pippen's like hotel room, Carmen Electra was there and she was like hiding behind the bed or the couch or whatever.
How did Carmen Electra get famous? Like, I think she was on Baywatch. Is that what it was? And I'm sure Baywatch is like one of the more popular TV shows. That must have been I think she also used to be Prince's girlfriend. I remember reading something because she's just like this character that you're like, how do I even like know? Yeah, it was definitely, I guess, Baywatch.
Awesome name too.
Carmen Electra is a sick name. Like, there's no way that's actually her name. I'll go on Wikipedia. That had to be like her name is Tara Lee Patrick. Tara Lee.
That's a bad one.
Carmen Electra.
I see why she switched.
Yeah, but who? I would love to know who came up with that, the stage name, Carmen Electra. Yeah, she's like,
what is her stage name? It's just like, just call me Carmen Electra.
Yeah, no, that was her.
It's like, because it's obviously it's not legal.
Yeah, I mean, you just tell people to call you by a different name. I mean, that's hilarious. Yeah, I thought that was, it just goes to show like how famous, and he was just like a legit celebrity, Rodman. Like, he wasn't just, same as like how Jordan was like a celebrity as much as a basketball player. Like, Rodman was literally just, he was like a global figure. That's just wild times. Like, was this not like a national news story? Like, it was just like, oh yeah, like Dennis Rodman, yeah, he's not playing today because he's on vacation in Vegas. I also love how the other players on the team were just like, yeah, whatever. Like, they didn't like resent him. They knew like he just had to do him. Cause you could see how like, it's like, okay, this guy gets to go to Vegas in the middle of the season, but like, we have to like, I'm getting yelled at for like not boxing out in the middle of game 52. You could see how that could like build resentment, but he was just, it seemed like most of them were like fine with just Rodman doing whatever the hell he wanted. And Phil obviously was just like, yeah, Rodman's got to do what he's got to do. I feel like that would never fly today.
No, I mean, it just seemed like he was just so out there that they kind of expected it out of him. So that they kind of just like, anyone else, I don't think could pull it off, but Rodman, I think he could.
And then how about,
I think what he did.
Yeah. And then how about Jordan, where he's like, he's describing like when, you know, Rodman asked to go on the vacation, and he's like, Phil called him into his office, and he's like, you know, he's like, Dennis has something to say to you, and Rodman's like, you know, I need a vacation. And then they cut to like Jordan, like they're interviewing him for the documentary. He's like, if anybody needs a fucking vacation, I need a vacation. I thought that was hilarious. And then also Rodman had a cool quote. This is not the exact quote, but this was like the spirit of what he was trying to say. They were interviewing him. At just one day, well, they weren't even interviewing him. He was just talking to himself, talking to the cameras. And he's like, you know, basketball is super simple. You know, it's so easy. Like, it's an easy game. It's like all the other BS that's hard. He's like, I'll play for free, but I got to get paid for all the other BS, basically. I thought that was like a pretty cool quote. He's just saying like, what comes easy is playing basketball. It's all like the off the courts, the celebrity, the constant attention that's hard.
Right.
Jeez, I gotta X out this. I'm just looking at Carmen Electra pictures on Google Images now. Focus.
That's what I was doing.
Focus. Let's focus on the podcast. What else?
I mean, she looked great. She looked great in the documentary.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. What about? How about?
You know what I thought was hilarious?
Yeah.
Doug Collins. Every time they won a game, he was just running on the court, screaming and yelling. Doesn't matter like what game it was. Could be regular season, playoffs.
He's sweating. He's just drenched in sweat, and he's got like his curly perm hair. How about when he's like the him and Michael are just like kissing? He's like, give me a kiss on the cheek. Like, I'm like, what? Yeah. This is so like, I just can't envision like, you know, like what Frank Vogel like talking to LeBron, like, LeBron, come give me a kiss on the cheek. Like, that, I don't know. It just would never happen nowadays. But back then, it's just like, oh, they just loved each other. They were just best friends. It is interesting how well Jordan seemed to get along with like his coaches. Like, he seemed to be super hard on teammates and really get in their faces. But like, obviously they mentioned like when Phil got hired, there was like initial like, you know, Phil's trying to take the ball out of my hand. So he wasn't crazy about that. But from Dean Smith at UNC, and I forget the guy's name who came before Doug Collins, like Stan something. And then Doug Collins, and then eventually Phil, like, he was so loyal to his coaches. I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like what you said, like at first he was, he didn't like the idea of Phil, you know, coaching, because he was trying to take the ball out of his hands. And I didn't realize that Phil didn't actually come up with the triangle offense.
Tex Winter. I knew that one. I knew that little nugget.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty awesome how, I mean, it seemed like Jordan himself never really applied himself to the triangle offense. You saw like the last clip, there was just like, the last game, he's like, oh, he started passing it to Paxton.
I thought that was hilarious. They were trying to, I know, like, not to interrupt, but like,
and like, oh, he finally got it.
Yeah, it's like, what? What do you mean? It's like, he said something like, oh, like, you drive and kick. I'm like, this is like a revolutionary concept. But I don't understand.
He passed the ball.
Yeah, it's like literally
to the open guy.
He passed the ball to the guy. Oh, teammates are a thing? Oh, my teammates could be of use to me on the basketball court? What a novel concept. I thought that was just so hilarious. Like, they're trying to drum it up as like some big moment. It's like, John Paxton is open, like some breakthrough, exactly. Like, oh, and it should be some like mind blowing thing. It's like, oh, sometimes kick the ball out to your teammates when they're amazing shooters and they're wide open. But what I don't understand about that narrative is that, so that was the 91 season. That was during the finals, right? When they beat the Lakers. Was it?
That was the last game.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. But so 91, and he averages 5.5 assists per game. But like we talked about in last week's episode, like the season before he had 6 assists, the season before that 8 assists, season before that 6. It's not like, I don't know how to square this whole, like he finally had a breakthrough at age 27, like learning how to pass the ball to his teammates. And they're interviewing him in real time. And he's like saying like, yes, this was like a breakthrough. I finally realized, but like, that's not matching up to like the stats. Maybe like when well, in crunch
what it
time.
Could be is- Exactly. Yeah. It could be in bigger situations.
100%. Yeah.
So that's probably what it is. Because obviously during like the season and like the first quarter, he'll dish it off. But then like when it comes to the fourth quarter, you know, Michael's going to get the ball.
Right. And he also he had the classic line, like there's no I in win. That's a classic when they were trying to sell him on the triangle. And Tex Winter, I guess, was saying there's no I in team. I thought it was interesting that just to like the dynamic of, so, okay, Doug Collins is the head coach. Tex Winter is the assistant coach. And Phil Jackson is one of the assistant coaches. And Tex Winter, Jerry Krause, like, sees Tex Winter as – he sees, like, the greatness in his triangle offense philosophy. And so Tex Winter is trying to get Doug Collins to get on board. But he's like, no, just give the ball to Michael. Just give the ball to Michael. And then so there, it's – Jerry, like, tells Phil to, like, you know, learn from – Tex, basically, and there's like this underground movement of like Tex is teaching Phil like these philosophies so that Phil could be like groomed to eventually be the head coach. But what I'm confused about is like, and then that's when Jerry eventually fires
Doug Collins
after the 89 season and hires Phil. I just wonder, like, why wasn't Tex Winter, like, why wouldn't he just hire Tex Winter as the head coach? I just wondered what was the dynamic, the thinking between Tex is probably better suited to be an assistant, but Phil has the potential to be a head coach. So, hey, go learn from Tex. And then to the point where like Doug Collins is like banning Tex from the bench and like at practice, he's like off on the sidelines. I just thought that's such a weird dynamic. Like almost you wonder why like Doug Collins wouldn't like go to Jerry Krause and be like, can you fire this guy? Or he wouldn't just like quit the job when you know like two of your assistants are like plotting almost on like your downfall, kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's just like a very strange dynamic.
Yeah, you just see like the rift happening. And yeah, it seemed like that Phil Jackson, well, obviously in hindsight, we know now.
Yeah.
That he could just like command the locker room better. And it seems like Tex was just like good with the X and O's.
Right.
So he was just like the play by play guy.
How about the
and just helped his, you know,
like for the game. Strategy and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, how about the clips of Phil coaching in Puerto Rico? That was hilarious. They're like the other team would kill a chicken in a graveyard and pour the blood on like your bench. And then Phil's like, there was one game where like the mayor of the city they were playing in shot the ref in the leg. And like, you're thinking, oh, this guy probably got sent to jail forever. Right. And they're like, well, you know, his punishment was he couldn't come to home games anymore that season. It's like, what the hell was going on? It's like the wild. It's almost like, nowadays, like European basketball, like I know like the Greek league where Rick Pitino used to coach before he came back to Iona. I was reading some like story on him coaching in Greece, and it's sort of like a similar vibe. It's like people are smoking cigarettes in the arena. They're setting off fireworks in the arena, and there's fights, and the fans are just like, they hate each other's guts because they're from like neighboring towns. It's just what a wild, and it's crazy that they got that footage. I'm like, why were they even like recording like Puerto Rican basketball league, like whenever that was, like 30 years ago.
Who knows?
One thing I got to do is buy.
I like it though.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. Some of the stories they were saying, I got to buy Phil's book 100%. That sounds like a classic book. You'd maybe learn some things from, because one thing coming into this, I definitely wanted to know. So that's why I like this one too, because I wanted to make sure that they got into Dennis. It seemed like the main characters are really obviously Dennis, Scotty, Michael, and Phil. And then Krause is sort of more like a side character. But I really wanted to make sure that they got into like Dennis's like upbringing and Phil's upbringing to sort of like complete the picture of like, who are these characters that we're dealing with? How did they get to be the way they are? And so I was like really happy when they did the flashback, like that little, you know, screen they do where they're like June 1998 and it flashes back, you know, August 1980. I was like, yes, yes, we're getting to the good stuff. And what do you think about the sort of the device they use, the filmmakers, where they are handing the cameras,
the phone
to the, like, I think it's really good because it's getting like genuine reactions. Like when they handed the phone to Jordan of Isaiah talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that was, they really got, it almost seemed like he was going to refuse the phone. Like he was like bugging out. Like his eyes were going left and right. He's like, you know, I don't believe whatever he says.
He did refuse it.
He watched it eventually.
No, he eventually watched it. But he's like,
I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care what's on there. Like, I don't give a shit.
And I thought he
you don't even have to show me.
So that was after finally the Bulls beat the Pistons in 91 after losing three straight years to them. And the Pistons basically walk off the court. And Isaiah is saying like, hey, when we finally beat the Celtics just walked off the court. Okay. But my thing was like the year prior, they showed, which was also crazy. So in 1990, when the Bulls lose to the Pistons, they showed that clip where Jordan's like, you know, dapping them all up, congratulating them for winning. Isaiah and like John Sally, all those guys, he's staying around on the court. The wildest part of that was, did you notice how Jordan was the one who got interviewed after the game?
What do you mean?
Like the cameras, like it seemed like the TV cameras, whoever was broadcasting the game, NBC or whatever, the Bulls lose, the Pistons win in the Eastern Conference Finals, 1990. The Pistons are going to the finals and the Bulls season's over. Jordan's like saying congrats to Isaiah. Then he gets pulled aside and like the TV camera guy, the reporter, is interviewing Michael. And what seems to be like on the national broadcast.
It's
maybe it was a local Chicago station, but it really seemed like it was like post game with like, you know, Craig Sager, even though it wasn't Craig Sager. And it's like, so you're just interviewing the guy that lost and you're not interviewing like that would never happen nowadays. You know, they always interviewing the winning team's player.
Yeah, that's the thing. It could be local.
Right. That was my only thing.
Always a bunch of like, it could be a local Chicago broadcast.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But that would make sense, but I don't know if it was Nashville or not.
Right, but my point is bringing it back to when they gave the phone to Jordan of Isaiah, it was just really, he totally sniped what Isaiah said. Because then Isaiah's other thing was like, you know, obviously if we knew the backlash that was going to happen, yeah, sure, we would have done like the hugging, kissing babies and shaking hands and all the congrats after the game. And Jordan literally says like, oh, I'm sure he'll say like, you know, based off the reaction, like I wouldn't do it again. Like he knew exactly what, I don't know if Isaiah has probably said that before, but like he just exactly sniped. And Isaiah is just not a trustworthy guy. Like I'm just kind of seeing like why people, he is like charismatic. He's got like the smile and everything, but you could tell there's something like sneaky and shady about him when he talks. I don't know. He's kind of like a shady guy. I get that.
Yeah, he does seem fraudulent.
Yeah, he's like a slick talker. He's like a used car salesman type of guy. He's like, hey man, we won the game, and you know, we just walked off the court. It's not a big deal. We still love them. You know, it's like this guy is a sneaky guy. That Isaiah.
Yeah, because I've heard on like multiple podcasts with people who've like spoke to him, that he's like an amazing guy.
When you're
but
in
then
person,
like every time like I see him, it just seems like he's like hiding something. He just seems fake. He's like always has that big smile on his face.
And then he's gonna stab you in the throat.
Yeah.
If you turn around. Yeah, but he definitely is like the type of guy where if you're hanging out with him in person and talking to him, he's probably like a great to hang along with, and he's such a nice guy. But yeah, there was, and what not to go back too much to the bad, they were fouling him hard, but I almost feel like off the ball, there was more physicality. Like the fouls they were showing when Jordan was like going up for shots, they weren't like insane. The one that was the most insane to me was they showed like a Larry Bird one where Bill Laimbeer just like came down with like two hands and basically like body slammed Bird. And then like Bird's laying on the ground and just starts punching him. That foul was crazy, but it's not, you know, obviously I'll take Jordan's word for it. And it's like literally everyone involved was saying like they were really roughing us up. It's just, they weren't like, it's not like they were constantly like punching him in the face. They were just hard fouls. Like you're going to the basket, we're going to foul you hard. Honestly, the biggest cheap shot was when Rodman pushed Scottie in 91. Yeah. Like when they were like that was dangerous. Like he just literally just shoved him.
And then Scottie didn't do anything. He just showed like no emotion.
Yeah, and they were like, all right, we're screwed. Oh,
we got this. Yeah. We got this.
Which was a good reaction for sure.
I mean, that's the thing though. Like the same thing would happen in today's NBA, except that would be a flagrant foul. So they would get the ball, they would get two shots and the ball.
Right.
So obviously they're not going to do it. But I mean,
it's not like they're not as tough. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like they're not as tough as that. It would just be stupid. It would just be stupid to do it. Because I mean, that would just would have happened to like guys like LeBron and big man, like let's say Dwight and, you know, in his prime. They would just hack him or Harden.
Yeah, they were fouls similar to that. Yeah, it's because like, and same thing with Shaq. It's like, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, it's the classic. Okay, Dwight, it got around his man. Like he's in the paint with the ball, and his like big man is like pinned on his back, and he's gonna go up for a dunk, and the guy behind him just throws both of his arms across, like down across his shoulders, like super hard. It's like that's a hard foul too. But I don't know. What did you think about the? I thought it was interesting because I get this vibe that Scottie and Jordan aren't like. They're clearly not friends, you know, like I'm sure they like enjoyed all the things that they accomplished together, but I do feel like there's this animosity between them. And what did you think about, so in 1990, game 7 against the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Final, like the migraine that Scottie had, and he couldn't, I'm like, do they not, I understand like migraines are brutal, but I guess,
that he can't see, that was weird.
Yeah, he couldn't see, and like he was seeing double vision, and he was gonna vomit. Like, did the trainers or anyone like try to treat it? Like, did he take Advil? Did he take Tylenol? Like, he just showed up and was like, "Well, I got a migraine. Like, guess what can we do? I guess what really can you do at that point?" But I mean, you gotta take his word for it. Like, if you literally have such a bad headache that you can barely see, like, it's what are you? How are you supposed to score 30 points? Like, I don't understand. Like
if Jordan against really, Dennis Rodman at that time.
Right, exactly. That was another really great clip when they were like, I think it was John Sally was like, man, you can't see. You're seeing double vision. You're vomiting or you feel like you're going to vomit. And you got Dennis Rodman guarding. You have no shot. And then they like cut to like the live audio and the video of like back then during the game. And they piped in like the crowd noise. And it was just like Scottie dribbling. And then like you could just see Rodman like with his like crazy energy and his crazy eyes like moving all. I thought that was such a great scene. I was like, oh my God, imagine dealing with this when you got a migraine. They really like hammered it home.
Yeah, that was a great sequence.
I'm trying to think.
They nailed that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think anything. I thought it was cool how, I mean, we touched on it, but like the idea of like, okay, they got to bulk up after losing three straight times to the Pistons. And they sort of got it. And Scottie basically admits, he's like, you know, like, And Jordan was like focused on like, okay, we're not taking vacations. Like we're getting in the gym immediately after losing. And Scottie's basically like saying like, Jordan is the one who like taught me like, you know, stay after practice and like work harder. And it seemed like he's basically just giving him credit for like pushing him to a new level. So yeah, you could say like, okay, was Jordan like in some ways a bad teammate, like punching Steve Kerr and like Horace Grant would say like belittling us and anytime we make a mistake, he'd just freak out and lose it. But Scottie would basically gives him credit for like making him a better player and like making him tougher, like more mentally strong. So I thought that was like, I mean, for him to admit that, like clearly it must be true. I don't think he would be making that up just to like make Jordan look better.
Yeah, it's a good point. And everyone was saying how basically Jordan really just made Pippen, not, I wouldn't say like who he is, but he greatly improved who he was, which is really interesting because Jordan's not like a big playmaker. He's really just a scorer. So it was really just like the mindset that he put like Scottie in.
Right. 100%.
And he was able to like, I guess you could say tame Rodman to become like a force.
Like more focused with not just being like a crazy person.
Exactly.
Okay. So a couple things. I want to get to. I want to get to the dynamic between Rodman and Pippen, but also just quickly, that is like a good point. It's like Jordan's not a playmaker. A lot of times we think of like make your teammates better. We think of Jason Kidd. We think of LeBron. We think of Steve Nash. Like you said, creators, playmakers, and that definitely is part of it. But yeah, there is also part of like making sure everyone on the team is giving it their all. You know, however, you might have to take different strategies with different players. You know, the thing that works with Scottie is not going to work with Rodman to make them fulfill their potential. But also, what did you think about when they flash back to the 98 season? And so Scottie was out, obviously, like we talked about last episode, he delayed his foot surgery because he was having issues with his contract and all that good stuff. He demands a trade. And then in the meantime, like Rodman is bowling out. And the team starts, so after a slow start, they start picking it up. And Rodman's super important to that. Phil says, like, he was the reason why we were winning. And just a dynamic of, like, once Scottie came back And it was like, Rodman literally says now it's like the three, you know, it's like the big three now.
Three amigos.
Yeah, the three amigos. Exactly. That's what he said. And it's like, Jordan didn't need him as much anymore because Scotty was there. And it just seemed like, I thought that was like really telling that basically Rodman just wanted people to like need him, basically. And that's when he started like spiraling out of control and started drinking and started partying more.
Well, that's when he took the vacation.
Yeah. And it's just crazy that all was because like he just didn't feel as wanted or as needed or as necessary anymore when Scotty came back. It's just, what yeah, a and it wasn't like, guy.
Yeah. And it wasn't even just like a month or two after. It was like pretty much immediately. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. And it was immediately. He's like, I need a vacation.
Scotty's he's back. I'm out of here. Nobody's.
It was, I think, yeah. He dyed his hair. He put like the 333s in his hair for like the first game back. And then he's like, all right, I want a vacation.
Which
now.
Was like, I thought it was so weird. You're like paying homage to Scotty with your haircut. But then you're actually, you know what? I don't like this. I liked it better when I was the most important guy besides Jordan. That was really funny, I thought. I just, another small thing is that, so they do those like little lead-ins that are not part of the documentary, you know, like when they're Carmelo and CP3 were the ones today. And I think probably a couple other ones, but, and D Wade was one, you know, when they say like, I don't even know what the hell Melo was talking about. He's like, I saw Rodman was like the illest guy. He said like, I didn't want to play in the 72nd game. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, but
Something about playing the bullets out.
Yeah. It's like when there was a final game of the season and Rodman's like, what's the point? And I guess Melo thought that was super cool. I don't know. I need to research that, whatever that quote was. But I wonder, is LeBron, because they got three of the four of the banana boat right there. They got Wade, Melo, and CP3. Like, if they ask those guys to like do a little snippet leading in from commercial, like definitely ask LeBron. So I'm interested to see if LeBron has one of those or not.
Yeah. I guess he would do it.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Why not?
Otherwise, he's just going to look like a little butthurt.
Salty.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, come on, LeBron. Just give a little spiel. What else do we got here? Took some notes. So we touched on Phil, how they did his upbringing. I thought he was cool with all his spiritual stuff. Rodman, we got a little look into him. Bad Boy Pistons. I really like these episodes. I thought it was, I mean, obviously episodes 1 and 2, I thought were really good, but I just really thought, I mean, these were awesome. Seeing the old school highlights. Even when they showed Jerry Krause like dancing after they won the first title, it was like, okay, there was better times. Yeah. On the plane. Exactly. He's doing his dance. Everyone's drinking. And how about there was a quote when he was like, Jordan was like teasing like the rookies, or I think he was a rookie at that time. I think it's Scott Layden.
Oh yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, stop doing this, man. You know, my parents are going to see this. He's like, mom. And Jordan's like, mom and dad, he's an alcoholic. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was savage.
I don't know.
And that's what like we want to see.
Yeah. The real stuff.
We want to see the behind the scenes action.
Yeah, exactly. I did like that. I mean, What else do we got here? Is there anything you could think of? What about I thought it was really interesting, kind of like really cool. Like, so after they win the first finals, Jordan does, right? Well, obviously there was the part, you know, he was he's crying with the trophy, but I thought even more cooler moment was like
him and Magic.
Yeah, that was sick. Didn't you think that was like so cool? It's just like game recognized game, like passing the torch, like and what I think did. I didn't know if I got the exact quote, but like they interviewed Magic after the game, and he's like, if we're gonna lose to anyone, you know, I'm glad we lost to Michael. But did he say like, I thought he said it was a beautiful feeling, and I'm like,
yeah, something like it's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, and I'm like, if that, I thought that whole thing was sick. It was just such a cool like two great players just like respecting each other moment. But can you imagine how that would be responded to by the media nowadays? Like
I mean, that's the thing. I feel like I've been like lied to
this whole time,
like this
dude.
Whole culture has been just made like a up. Whole like fuck you type of energy. Like it's just so competitive. Everyone's just knocking each other on the ground. You don't shake hands. You definitely don't the opposition winning the championship against you saying it's like a beautiful moment and then hugging them in tears. It doesn't add up. I don't know where like this even came from.
Yeah, who
like,
started this? We need to do research. We need to do an investigation. Was it all just Skip Bayless? Who did this? Who lied to us like this? And
yeah, it's got to be the media.
It has to be the media. And I'm like, where did this start? Meanwhile, it's like they're playing golf together. They're crying in each other's arms when they beat each other in the finals. Like they cannot be more like emotional and like respectful towards each other. Jeez. It's like nowadays it's all like, okay, after the game, you show respect and you shake each other's hands. It's not like, you know, in 2018 when LeBron and the Cavs beat the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And like after the game, he's like hugging Jason Tatum. It's not like he's crying in Jason Tatum's arms. Like, it's going to be your league, man. But it's like they were doing that back then. It's just, I don't know. It's cool. And it's like, yeah, we were lied to. We were bamboozled. We were led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived, as Stephen A. Smith would say. What a guy. What a character. What else we got, huh? Any other little tidbits?
Yeah, I mean, that was like just the point. I was just so shocked. I don't really like it as much. It just seems kind of, it loses its touch. I mean, it's like cool, but not really. I mean, when you expect like Jordan to do it, it's different. I feel like he was like perceived different.
And what do you mean?
I feel like just like it seemed like he was just like so competitive that he would never do that. He would just, you know, dap him up, but he wouldn't like literally cry. And
so you're almost saying, yeah, like, I kind of wish they didn't show us that.
True.
Yeah, like give us the fake, give us the fake, almost like mythical. Yeah, give us the fake news that Jordan was like larger than life. Yeah, he had no emotions. He was like a cyborg Terminator. It is like humanizing him, definitely. But it just goes to show. I mean,
and that's what they said. They're like, the only time that Jordan showed emotion was when he was angry or frustrated.
Right. His teammates are saying that. His teammates are saying that. But I think it speaks to your point of like, why did this happen? Like, why did this narrative start? Maybe because it's just literally cooler to like believe otherwise. We're thinking like, why did the media lie this whole time that players used to hate each other and this, that? Because probably the answer is, like you just said, it's kind of cooler when they do. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we can appreciate it, and it is like a cool moment. But in terms of like entertainment, it's a lot more entertaining as like an entertainment product when you get the vibe that the two sides dislike each other. It is. I mean, it's just undeniable. I mean, I'm saying like it was awesome and it was a great, awesome moment with him and Magic. But it's way more entertaining when it's like him and Isaiah like hating each other for sure.
Yeah, because it's like way more emotional in that way. Just like the rage, it's you know, it creates like that drama. And I mean, it's like a better story. It's just like a better story of like two rivals like going
right,
at it.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Cause, and then you saw, yeah, I don't think Kobe's ever done that either.
That's so that
I can't think of any situations like
so
that.
So that's,
and obviously Kobe's most comparable to Jordan.
That's where my mind first went. It's like, why didn't like Kobe ever sort of, I feel like Kobe never really passed the torch to LeBron like that. You know, like we never got that moment. Like I feel like he didn't really embrace LeBron.
That's last tweet.
Right? Well, there you go.
Very last tweet.
That's crazy that. Isn't life crazy though? Because like it was, I remember reading some article around when Kobe died that was basically like LeBron and Kobe had started like this year to become like sort of closer and have more of a relationship, which goes to show that like the rest of the time they didn't really, I mean, obviously when they saw each other, they'd probably be like, hey, what's going on? But they didn't really have any sort of significant relationship.
They weren't friends.
They
were like
friendly. And but even more, it's like Kobe never like acknowledged like LeBron is like, you're the next guy, like I'm passing the torch to you. And but he only just did it literally when LeBron passed him in it was him passing him when he passed him on the scoring list, right? That was this past season. And then LeBron, yeah, that's sure. What it was. Why else would he tweet about LeBron? Yeah, he passed him on the scoring list, the all-time scoring list, because now he's only behind Kareem and Karl Malone, and before Kobe was third.
Okay,
that's what it was. And so, yeah, and then he finally, like, and but then he dies. But he does, he finally, they had that moment. Like, they spoke on the phone, like LeBron. I just think, wow, life is just crazy that they finally had that moment right before he died. I don't know, just kind of wild stuff.
Continuing to move the game forward at King James. Much respect, my brother. 33644.
Yeah. Wild. Wild.
33,000. Wow.
Yeah, and it is just crazy. I don't know if you have any more. I'm just looking through my notes. I think we basically got to most of it. Because like we said, a lot of this was just basically game highlights, which I was loving. So, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Yeah, I liked it much better, much more than the first episode. The first episode just seemed like just getting into it.
Which is sort of unavoidable.
And it focused, yeah, and it focused a lot on like Scottie Pippen's contract.
Yeah, which
was definitely like interesting, but it's not like, you know, something to center around the whole episode. Two episodes. But I mean, obviously, whenever you're talking about Dennis Rodman, it's gonna be fun to watch.
Right, of course. That's definitely a part of it, definitely. And how about a couple funny moments was after Jordan hits a shot against the Cavs and he's like celebrating, and that reporter's like, Mike, you stuck it, Mike. Mike, you stuck it, Mike. Mike, what are you going to say? You stuck that, Mike. And he just points, shoves a mic in Jordan's face, and he's just like, yeah. I thought that was such a funny moment. And how about when they were trying to decide whether they were going to trade for, or maybe they had already traded for Rodman, and Phil goes to meet him at, I think, Jerry Krause's house. Was that it? And Rodman's got like his hat on and whatever, sunglasses, all these piercings that he doesn't get up. But I just thought the funniest moment was like, they ask him like, you know, Rodman, like, or Dennis, you know, do you want to be a Bull? Like, do you want us to trade for you? And like his response is like, I don't care, whatever. I
just thought, yeah, he literally said that.
I thought that was so funny. Just so nonchalant. Like, I don't, I mean, you want to trade for me? Fine. I don't, whatever. I mean, I don't care one way or the other. I'll do whatever. It's like, do you want to become like, you want to play with the best player in the world and maybe win titles? But I just feel like deep down, he definitely wanted them to trade for him really bad, but he just couldn't say it.
Yeah. It's just not who he is. So he had to play his cards that way.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's something.
Yeah. I just.
Dating Madonna.
Yeah. I think Madonna's weird. Like, I don't really have like a full conception in my head of like who Madonna was. I guess she was like the biggest pop star, like female pop star at a point. I feel like.
I just know she's huge.
Yeah. She
was huge.
She was.
I think she might have been bigger than like what Rihanna is now.
Yeah. I think that's probably fair. I mean, I think it was easier. It's probably easier to be more of like a singular, because there's only so many nowadays. It's like everything's so specialized. Like if you like Rihanna, you could like this. But if you like this type of music that's slightly different than Rihanna's, there's someone for that. Where I feel like back in the day, there was probably less options. So whatever option was like the big pop star, like everyone would. It's the same like back with TV shows back in the day. It was like those ratings like blow all like Game of Thrones ratings, Breaking Bad ratings out of the water, because that was the only show to watch. Yeah, I mean, do you have
not as many options?
Not as many options. I think we hit basically everything with this episode. Do you want to? We didn't talk about doing it. Do you want to talk anything NFL draft? Do you have any thoughts about that? Or because I think we basically touched on everything we needed to with this. Unless you have any more thoughts.
Yeah, no, I didn't really watch the NFL draft, so I cannot. I saw just like the memes or tweets about just Roger Goodell not making it through the second part of the draft, just chilling on his couch. That was hilarious.
Dude, I thought
I didn't watch the draft. I just saw the picture.
Right. I only watched the first round, but it's just, his personality is bizarre. Like, it's just
robotic.
It's very robotic. And I'm like, I didn't remember him being like this robotic. I guess he just never talks. I think that's what it illustrated to me in my mind. It's like he really never talks, basically, unless he's doing like a press conference, because he would be doing like, he was like a, so obviously he gets booed all the time. So they sort of made a joke out of the fact that he gets booed, but he, it's not that he was just like unfunny and robotic. He was like so robotic that I thought there's a chance that he's like playing a character. Like it was like a
force.
Yeah. It was so weird that I thought he like must be in on the joke. Like he I can't even describe it. Like he would be like, okay. Like there was one point where he's like, he had like a box of M&Ms next to him, and I guess somebody told him like, hey, it would be funny if you made a joke about the M&Ms, because I guess he was eating them like off camera. And he's like, and this is literally how he sounded. Okay, and folks, I know that people have been asking about the M&Ms. And he picks up like the M&M container. And here they are. And let me tell you something, folks. This box is going to be done by the end of the night. And he puts it down. And I'm like, because it's one thing to be like in on the joke, right? And it's like one thing to be in on the joke is like people don't like you and you're unpopular. And being like, when he would go to the cameras, like behind him, they had like the Zoom behind him for all the fans whenever they did a pick. And he'd be like, come on, guys, let's hear it. Come on, you could do better than that. It's like he was like a video game character, like saying canned lines or something. And it was just so bad and so cringy that I almost think like he went into it being like, he's going to play the character of like a cringy guy who is trying to be in on the joke. But like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just so bizarre watching him.
It seems like he is aware of like the jokes being made of him, and he's trying to make fun of himself, but he's secretly crying on the inside, right. So he can't like cover that.
But it's like he wasn't like charismatic at all. Like I think he's like the commissioner of the NFL. You think like he would be like, I can't believe he thought the stuff that he was doing was funny. Basically, like every pick. They would cut back to him and he would be looking at the fans and he would just make the same joke every time. Like, you can do better than that. Come on, let's hear it. And then he would like, I'm like, is this guy think like he's killing it right now? And everyone's like, that Roger, he's pretty funny. I mean, the one funny thing he did was he was interviewing one of the players that got drafted and he walked up to like his TV screen and gave him like a virtual hug. He's like, come on, bring it in. God. That was actually funny. Other than that, I'm like, this guy is so weird. I can't tell if he's in on the joke. Is he trying to be on the joke? But he's so cringy and he's not funny that he can't be in on the joke in a funny way. It was bizarre. I was like, I thought I was tripping out while I was watching the draft. I'm like, what is going on right now? But yeah, I mean, that's all my thoughts. In terms of the players, I mean, who cares? We're not draft experts. We're not going to do breakdowns of the players. But I just thought that was just so weird. At least it was something to watch, something to do.
Yeah, I mean, did you see El Prez is bidding, like, I think he's at like $50,000 to watch a game with Roger Goodell. That he's gonna win it. He's gonna win it.
I feel like the NFL will if they know it's Prez who's gonna win, they'll just make up a fake bid that beat him and they'll never do it. Like they'll just say, oh, somebody bid $250K, but like they'll never. Because, I mean, they don't have...
He said he's willing to go up to seven figures without blinking.
If he does that, that would be insane. Is that still going on?
Yeah, it's like there's 15 days left.
Bro, but seven figures, but nobody's going to beat that. And what is it, like go watch a game with Roger Goodell?
And I feel like people know that it's now they know that Prez is
they're gonna let him win.
Bidding. So yeah, they want to see that, so they're not gonna bid.
But things. Number one, I feel like the NFL is just not gonna let it happen. And number two, they wouldn't let Barstool film it if it did happen. They're not.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like,
they banned Barstool.
Would they let
from,
it film it?
No, dude, they ban Barstool from Super Bowl Media Day every year. Do you think they're gonna let El Prez win this raffle to hang out with Roger Goodell and be like, "Yeah, Marshall, come film this"? No, not a chance. Not a chance. They'll just say somebody beat him. That's what they'll do. They'll just say somebody bid 1.2, and then no, they'll never report on it. Like, how are you gonna follow up and prove that somebody didn't watch a game with Roger Goodell? They'll say Bob from Michigan won.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to play that out.
It's funny.
Because that came out. I doubt they expected that.
No, they would.
They
no,
did not expect that.
They did
that.
Not plan for that. Little wrinkle. I could just imagine him when he saw that they were that this was a thing, that there was a raffle going on to hang out with Roger Goodell. He's like, oh, I'm in on this. So funny.
Yeah, imagine just like the intern who like put this together. He's like, oh, this is such a great idea.
Yeah, I'm going to get a promotion, like, no doubt.
Dave Portnoy tweets out, $50,000 bid. He's like, oh, fuck. I'm fucked. It's over.
Oh, so funny.
It's not going to happen.
So funny.
That I can't wait to see, like, what happens. I'm hoping somehow it does happen and they get to film it. That would just be hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would be, like, a total shit show. I mean,
I think it would be a shit show. Are you kidding me? Prez would go in there, like, screaming, like, why did you do that to Brady, Deflategate? You just go nuts. He has to do it for the content. He's not going to be like nice. He's got to get that content. Good times. I mean, that's funny. Yeah, I did see. I didn't actually see the tweets, but like, I just saw. I think I saw somebody else tweeting about it, but not Perez. I mean, what else you got? Anything else you want to talk about? Where, look, not every episode has to be an hour and a half. We're at like an hour 5 minutes, but I'm pretty out of stuff. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty out of it. I got nothing on the table. What? Yeah, I mean, I just thought The Last Dance was good. Excited for the next one for sure.
Yeah.
How'd you know what this one was about? They already previewed it?
No, I didn't.
You were like a preview article?
I didn't know what it was going to be about. I was just hoping that...
You said it was going to be about Rodman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I knew because they did like a preview last week, yeah. And I saw stuff on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw stuff on Twitter that they were like, oh, episode 3 is the Rodman episode. So, yeah, I knew that was coming.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, no, I just had x-ray vision. I wonder what the next... I mean, we'll see. It's just interesting to see what the next episode
yeah,
is
so
about.
They pretty much like dove into... the four main characters, let's say.
Yeah, so like now where's there left to go?
So I wonder if like now is it going to be like more behind the scenes stuff or what they're going to do with this. I mean, they're going to show five more championships, so should be interesting. See,
yeah, I guess so. That's right. I was thinking, are they going to go
through
each
year?
One. Yeah, they have to go through each year at this point if they're going to go through number one like they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder, are they going to... Well, because they're kind of at the same time. At one time, like they're looking in the past, and they're like going through the '91 season. But at the same time, they're also like sort of moving the '98 season along. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like now we're at the point of the '98 mm-hmm. season where Scotty's coming back. We're already like whatever that is 60% of the way done with that season. So they're sort of doing two things at once. So like moving both storylines, and I imagine at some point, you know, we're going to see the 97 championship. And then by then we're going to be at the point in the 98 season where it's like time for the finals, basically.
Right.
Come to a head at the same time. Yeah. I think, it was definitely good stuff. I thought it was super entertaining and I'm definitely looking forward to next week for sure.
Yep. I mean, I got nothing.
Hey, that's fine. Look, I mean, listen, we did an hour, 5 minutes. I'm fine to wrap it up. No harm in that. No shame, no foul. Time to maybe get to bed at a reasonable hour. Got a tough day of working from home tomorrow.
Cannot wait. Can't wait.
The great meme, great moment, great quote, Bart Scott.
All right, people. So people forget that podcast.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Your two trusted compadres. It's like I always...
Unlike Isaiah Thomas.
Unlike Isaiah Thomas, that shiesty guy. There was I never... can I speak? I'm just losing it right now.
What are you, Dennis Rodman?
And then Michael was like, and then Phil...
King Jong-un.
Yeah, King Jong-un. I always loved, and this was so random, I never watched the Pokemon anime hardcore, like the TV shows, but my favorite part of them, the episodes that I did watch, were like the intros when they'd be like, and we join our heroes now as they traverse their way through Cerulean City. Will Ash make it to the Johto badge? I just always, so that's basically what we are. Like, we're signing off. You're signing off as your heroes on our journey.
There we go. Pikachu behind our side.
Just trudging along, yeah.
We just picked up some Pokeballs.
Yep.
Ready to hit the grass.
That's my Pokemon music.
I couldn't tell, honestly.
Right.
I was trying to put it together.
Whatever.
I'll take it, though.
Whatever.
All right. It's a wrap.
Peace.